Let's start this story off by making a cup of coffee. If you're one of the many who consider coffee to be a social and an aesthetic experience, what the cup looks like probably matters. There's the all-too-common cylindrical mug used for printing and promo purposes, cups with rolled edges, stackable ones, which save space in a cupboard, diner styles with thin waists or in the teacup bowl shape, and even the cup designed by NASA for space travel, which resembles a slipper. If you were going to design a coffee cup, how would you start?
You would start off by drawing a circle, and then you would extrude that circle and add some fillets and maybe add a handle. That's kind of complex. You have to think about the mates and the faces and how does this piece of geometry marry up with this piece of geometry. All you want is a coffee cup.
Meet Scott Reese. He's passionate about design and has been at the design software company Autodesk for 17 years. Scott is Senior VP of Manufacturing, Cloud, and Production Products. And he mentions coffee cups as an example of something seemingly mundane, but presents some complex design challenges which generative design on a computer can address.
So why not just input the parameters, frame the problem. It needs to hold 16 ounces. If I drop it from 3 feet, it needs to not break. It needs to be able to be manufactured for less than a dollar. These are the things you really care about. The geometry you care less about. So with the cloud and with leveraging the computer as collaborator, we're able to hide a lot of that complexity and move that compute to a place that's more capable, the computer.
In conventional design by humans, you start with what the object looks like or its geometry. Well-designed things often get that way through trial and error over time. And many times, the chosen design is simply the one that can be most cheaply manufactured, not necessarily the best design.
Wouldn't you want to find the actual best answer versus the one that you know how to manufacture? That's kind of the progression of design. And really bringing the computer as collaborator.
In generative design, you tell the computer what the constraints are, things like size, weight, or safety considerations. The computer performs design tasks based on those parameters and shows the results of hundreds, maybe thousands, of geometric options.
If I think of the traditional design of a chair, there are four legs, a flat surface, and some kind of a back. Predominantly, that's what a chair looks like, because as humans, that's our historical knowledge that we all view as kind of a strength.
Reese points to three chairs in a display at the Autodesk Gallery in San Francisco, California. The first chair is human-designed. The second is designed by a human, but modified by a computer.
It takes that exact same chair and optimizes it. It doesn't change the design, but it optimizes it. So in this case, it creates a lattice that'll take a lot of the weight out of it. But we're still limiting that middle option based on our historical knowledge of what the chair or the geometry needs to look like. And then this third option, we didn't feed it any geometry at all. All we did was we told it a chair is 36 inches, high is where the human needs to sit, or 24 inches high, needs to be able to take a load of, say, 200 pounds of force, and needs to have a back, and the average human is kind of this tall, so that back needs to be this far from the front, and those types of things. The computer explores all the options, and then this is the answer.
In this case, the answer is a wild-looking take on chair design, a sort of futuristic wicker furniture.
There's no way I can manufacture that, right? Look at the complexity of the latticing and all the structures. There's probably no other way other than 3D printing to create that.
This chair display at the museum is intended to show the conceptual differences between human, optimized, and generative design. The lattice chair is something that probably would never be made for actual sale. Now, there might not be that much of a need to generatively design chairs for, say, your kitchen table, but for car makers, every ounce counts.
Now, if you think of things like electrification of vehicles and sustainability requirements, where less material is a really good thing, weight is a big deal for electrification of vehicles and battery lives and those types of things, this becomes a much, much better means of designing and making everything that our customers are responsible for.
And Autodesk's customers are responsible for more than just shaving off weight or using new materials. There's another dimension to generative design that makes it essentially mandatory for the future: time. The conventional approach companies use, coming up with an idea, vetting it, designing it, engineering it, and making it, is becoming less and less viable.
More and more, you and I as consumers, we don't want one of a million. We want one of two or one or, you know, some small batch. And it isn't very long before we're kind of tired of that one and we want a different one. And this is kind of the consumer trend, if you will, driving them to think differently. That plays out with just about every manufacturer, is that they have this pressure for faster and faster iteration. So they have to work very differently. The manufacturing techniques, whether it's additive or robotics, are coming on so strong that the disruption that's happening to them is a big threat. So beyond the risk that they can't keep up with the market, there's a lot of disruption happening as well. But as consumers, we're kind of the problem. Our expectations are evolving very, very rapidly. And that's where the vision for the future of making is really resonating.
The future of making is a future where complexity is handled by automation and the cloud. 20 years ago, you bought a design software package which you owned and ran from your own local hard drive.
Over time, that software is going to become less and less useful. So what's kind of the point of owning it? What you really want is to have the access to using it and to have it be better every day when you wake up. And that's the value of moving to subscription. That's the business model that has really shown up, certainly in the SaaS world, that pretty much all of the industry is moving to in this world, where as your challenges as an end customer become increasingly complex, you just want the tool that you use to continuously get better to help you meet those challenges as well.
Scott Reese is Senior Vice President of Manufacturing, Cloud, and Production at Autodesk. He says his team's newest focus is helping customers who have Autodesk tools to build out products and solutions. This is the Tech Barometer podcast from the online publication The Forecast. You can find more stories about tech and people in tech at theforecastbynutanix.com.